America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 actions businesses need to take now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Golic. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Golic. That's netsuite.com/Golic.
Well, that is the question.
Well, that is the question.
Golic and
Wingo with Radio ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. Hope your Monday, Tuesday, Thursday is off to a good start. And we have a lot to get to today. We may have baseball.
We might have baseball. We've got a bunch of really potentially old, mad NBA head coaches.
Boy, we really do.
The NFL is talking about Kaepernick again. It feels like we're back in 2016.
We are stuck in a time warp, ladies and gentlemen.
Boy, we really are.
But the conversation is completely different, though.
The conversation is very different. And knowing we're coming into the show, like we sit around and do these pre-show meetings before, yeah, and we talk on the show note all night, and you see all these things. We go, all right, Major League Baseball is going to be a pretty big one. It seems like we could have maybe worked ourselves back into the deal zone here with a couple of major caveats, hopefully. We have some things that, you're right, are very different from the last time with Colin Kaepernick. But this damn face app challenge, now all of a sudden we wait till 6 o'clock on the dot, and God bless Allie, our producer, who tweeted this out. You guys saw that face app thing going around yesterday, right?
Yes, I did not.
Yeah. You didn't see, you missed that on the interwebs yesterday?
Sometimes I turn off the machines.
They basically took all of it. It started with the SEC football head coaches.
Oh, yeah.
It went through and it put hair on them and put them through the face app,
right,
and made them look like girls. And they tweeted out ours at Golic and Wingo, pictures of all of us. And I'm not going to lie, Lady Golic Jr. just showed up to your CrossFit class and she is turning heads right now. I look wonderful.
I don't.
Oh my God. I am amazed by how I did not expect to be a good looking lady. I didn't expect it, but wow. Am I into me? I think I'm into me.
I am so thrown at the turn this has taken.
I want to have the conversation about Kaepernick, and I want to talk about where Cam Newton might end up.
Do
in free
you?
Agency,
it doesn't think you
but
do.
I didn't expect to be attracted to myself this morning. I don't know what happened.
It doesn't look like
okay,
maybe
can I
why
just
it's
say
good looking because it doesn't look like your face
this?
At all.
I'm cute. I am a killer.
Trey, I was going to say, you're pretty too.
I am a killer.
I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
Mike, you,
at all.
Mike, you look like a human pug.
Yeah, I'm not. Mike, that face doesn't even look like you.
Oh,
though.
No, it does.
No, not one bit.
Oh, man.
That's why it's cute.
I've seen my future.
I'm not going to say I'm a looking and I'm a liking.
The thing about you though is the arm head ratio.
I said, I'm in your CrossFit class. I am pacing the group right now.
Wow. Yeah, I'm the clubhouse leader.
Oh man.
I mean, very delicate features.
At Golic and Wingo, which one of us? I feel like it's me.
I think that's a huge win.
I think it's between the two of you. I'm going back to the I'm going back to the buffet.
Yeah.
This is literally terrifying.
Yeah, I can't even look at it. I'm averting my eyes.
It's not great. The radio audience is loving this, by the way.
Yeah, so check it out at Golic and Wingo. The three of us look like women.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Anyway, it is the appropriate distraction in these uncertain times. But
is it time for serious talk now?
Yeah, now it's time for serious talk.
But not straight talk.
No.
It's not time for straight talk because that is the farthest thing from straight talk. But we'll get to some serious talk about whether Colin Kaepernick is going to be signed, right? So Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn was asked about it. And he said, I thought what he said was very interesting on a bunch of levels, because I'm not sure what he said. So let's listen to someone asking Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, on a Zoom call about whether or not he's considered bringing Colin Kaepernick in.
That's something that's probably on the workout list. You know, I haven't spoken with Colin. I'm not sure if you know where he's at as far as in his career, what he want to do. But Colin definitely fits the style of quarterback for the system that we're going to be running. And I'm very confident and happy with the three quarterbacks that I have. But, you know, you can never have too many people waiting on the runway.
By the way, the quarterbacks that he have, obviously first-round pick Justin Herbert.
Right.
Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick.
Easton Stick.
Carson Wentz Jr.
Right,
Carson
right.
Wentz, Carson Wentz the sequel.
He took over for Carson Wentz when he left.
North Dakota State.
And how about North Dakota State? They got another kid coming out this year.
Yeah. Trey Lance.
Could be the second quarterback taken in the draft if he jumps over Justin Fields in this one. It's quarterback U is what it is.
They do all right there in the Fargo Dome. But it brings up the question, you're right, Trey, because what was really said here? Because he went on to basically say teams would be crazy to not have Colin on their workout list.
But I do like Cap, and he fits. We haven't made plans to work Cap out. I mean, okay. I mean, Cap was he was a starting quarterback, a Super Bowl quarterback in this league. I think it would be crazy to not have him on your workout list, unless there's other reasons why you shouldn't. But we haven't reached out. We haven't scheduled anything. Okay. No, we have not.
So that's my thing. What did he actually say?
And he actually said he fits their system.
Fits their system, but he's not on our workout list.
Not on the list. Well, I mean.
No, he said he is on their workout list.
He is on their workout list.
He's happy with the quarterbacks they
have. And we have to understand the dynamics right now. Do we think Cap's better than a lot of the quarterbacks that are in quarterback rooms now? Yes, but teams are set. Rosters are set at this point. Obviously, it doesn't mean they can't change. I do think, and remember, you can't bring anybody in. Nobody is just going to sign Cap. They're going to bring him in. At least I don't think they are.
No, they're not going to sign him sight unseen.
And we have no idea when they can start bringing players in again to even practice with their team, let alone then have workouts, because that would be the next thing. Remember, the first time these coaches may see their players may be July 28th, the start of training camp. So the way the year is going doesn't help Cap in this situation at all, if he is to get a look. So what I do think is going to happen, I do think some teams will work him out, and that's what you do. Teams work out players, and then they have their list. So if something happens and you lose a player, you go to your list of players you have worked out or players you know, and you bring them aboard. So I do think that is a distinct possibility that he will get workouts from teams. The only problem is we don't know when that can happen. Do I think he'll be signed by training camp to a team? No. And a lot of that has to do, there's a lot of legs there, but one of the bigger ones now is, quite honestly, you can't see him.
Yeah.
You can't look at him. You can't work him out. You're basically, everybody is just showing up at camp. So under that right there, I don't think there's any way he's going to be signed to a team by then.
Well, not only that, but there's probably another quarterback out there that's going to get signed before him.
That needs to be seen as well in person. That's Cam Newton. Right.
So, I mean,
I guess that's the thing is now if we're able to make this, and there's some reason to believe after comments yesterday from the president that this might
we'll get to that in a minute.
That this might be allowed to be a football position in decision in some people's minds. And if it is, then you're right. We got to treat it like a football decision, and we're all putting Collins firmly behind Cam Newton in the conversation of quarterbacks that will be coming off and being signed during the course of training camp. And that's one thing that's become pretty consistent about Cam is the way that we've looked at him and said it's probably, based on the way this offseason shook out, going to take some sort of training camp injury, some sort of situation surrounding poor performance during camp, once you're able to get in front of all your guys, that's going to get Cam signed when they can get a look at him, when they can see that foot in person. And so I wouldn't stand to reason that anything would be any different in Colin for that. It would just happen after whenever it happens for Cam.
And look, there's always one or two quarterbacks that people point out, whether it's with Colin or Cam, said, yeah, but that guy signed. I mean, Joe Flacco is signed. Joe Flacco is signed to a team. He's with the Jets, and he's even said, I won't be ready for week one.
Yeah,
it's a little weird, right? It's a little weird that Joe Flacco's on a team and Cam Newton isn't, and then, of course, there's the Colin Kaepernick discussion.
Yeah, I mean, because Flacco coming off a neck injury as well. I have been surprised about Cam not being signed, but the one thing not surprising is in this, you want to get a look at a guy. He's coming off that injury. You want to see him move. And those videos he's putting out of him working out is not telling me anything about how his foot is at all.
No, and I think this whole conversation serves to underscore a point that it's never going to be just a football decision with Colin.
Exactly.
It's never going to be just a football decision.
Coming up more on this, including the biggest question when it comes to Colin, will the football people make that decision? We may have gotten some insight on that from a very unusual source yesterday, and we'll get to that after.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
I do like Cap, and he fits what we're doing. He definitely would be someone that if something happened, you know, maybe we bring him in. I don't know.
Colin Kaepernick being back in the league will be politicized.
You have a guy who believes that Kaepernick deserves to be in the league, who at this point doesn't have a spot for him.
Don't sign Colin Kaepernick for political reasons. Sign him because he's a good football player that can help your team.
Like, it would be crazy to not have him on the workout list. But we haven't reached out. We haven't scheduled anything. Okay. No, we have not.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. As we're continuing to have the conversation about what is or isn't going to happen with Colin Kaepernick, because of the only way to describe them are sort of interesting comments from Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach.
Yeah, and the more I listen to it, because he was clearly asked about it, you know, if you guys thought about bringing Colin Kaepernick in, and this is the point we're at, and maybe I'm rationalizing this because I think Anthony Lynn is like a good and decent man, and
Absolutely.
That's probably coloring the way that I look all this, but I see it, and it's basically, all right, are we being told, because a lot of the reaction has been, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, a lot of the reaction has been more negative than I'd imagine, it's, can you not say Colin's name unless you're going to sign him? Because that seems to be how binary it is at this point. If you're going to bring it up, and I believe that Anthony Lynn did in a way to say, every team should be considering this guy, a lot of people are taking that to say, some other team but us. And so I don't want it to get to a point, because I think the more it's talked about and normalized, this idea of signing him, and certainly there was a big move of that yesterday from someone outside of the NFL, it might do a better shot of making this more of a football conversation again. But I think that nerve is still so raw that when his name comes up and it's not for a reason of your signing him, people are going to look at it and continually say it's disingenuous.
Yeah, and you mentioned other people talking about it.
Yes.
The president was asked about Colin Kaepernick and his ability to play, and here's what he had to say.
If he deserves it, he should. If he has the playing ability, his playing wasn't up to snuff. The answer is absolutely I would. As far as kneeling, I would love to see him get another shot, but obviously he has to be able to play well. If he can't play well, I think it would be very unfair.
But it's never been about his ability to play.
No, it hasn't. But
it's
this,
never been about
But this
that.
Time around, it's a little more in play than just the political side of it, right? Because he has been out 4 years. So it is fair to say, how would he adapt? The best comparison, at least of this last, you know, decade or so, is Michael Vick. Remember, Michael Vick went to prison. Michael Vick missed two complete years being in prison. And then he came back for a year, only had one start in Philly. So if you don't count that year, you can say 2 years completely off, 3 years from playing, though he was on the Eagles roster. And then the year after that, he started 12 games and 13 games and 10 games, had 51 touchdowns, had 30 interceptions. That first real starting year after 3 years off, he still ran the ball 100 times for over 600 yards and 9 touchdowns. He was certainly still productive, because we know Cap can run as well. That was part of it, not like Vic. Vic was certainly in a category that we see like a Lamar Jackson in. But Michael Vick did come back and had some productive years after being out that long. That's the only comparison I can really think of, being completely out of the game for a couple of years.
And I guess that's the bottom line is with his play, we just don't know right now.
Right.
We don't know. And that's what teams, and that's why Anthony Lynn is talking about teams putting him on their workout list, bringing him in at this point, what it looks like now, the point in the NFL calendar year we're at where most of these rosters, as you get ready to go into what would be the time for training camp, are pretty set at this point. And you've been around these guys for, in this case, a very virtual offseason, and now are getting ready to take them into camp where Cam Newton, where Colin Kaepernick are clearly going to be the first names out of everyone's mouth when we see the first quarterback injury, when people get a look at their guys in camp and maybe start to go, all right, this isn't necessarily the production that we were looking for. Can Colin come in and fit in this role? Because we know with Cam Newton, it is probably going to be a backup who would very much like to start still at this point. Another thing Anthony Lynn mentioned is, I'm not sure what Colin's goals are at this point in his career from a football sense. You can probably say they're the same for both as competitors, but this is all information that they've got to be able to bring him in, talk to him, and find out. Maybe that can happen in a phone or Zoom conversation right now, and we're selling that avenue short, but we know a lot of this has also been held up protocol-wise, workout-wise, by the pandemic.
So just for perspective here, okay, our fine researcher, Henry, has done some great work. Here's a blind resume of two quarterbacks, okay? Quarterback A, in one season, had a touchdown-to-interception ratio of 4.0. His interception percentage was 1.2. His yards per completion was 11.4. His total QBR was 49, and his rush yards were 468. Quarterback B had a touchdown-interception ratio of 1.7, not nearly as good. His interception was 3.4, way higher. Yards per completion, 11.8, essentially the same. His QBR was 55, and his rush yards were 183. Quarterback A was the last time we saw Colin Kaepernick on the field in 2016. Quarterback B was Andy Dalton in 2013, the year before he signed a six-year extension for $115 million.
Yeah, I mean, throw the running out. Andy Dalton wasn't a running quarterback.
Right, but either way, right. I mean, he was less risk-averse. They had almost the exact same.
His touchdown interception was the
16-4.
That was the last year
started. 16-4.
Exactly. So, listen, was he a great, great player? No. Was he a really good player? Yeah, he was. His completion percentage was never very good. It's all about what you rate things on nowadays. You know, now we're saying guys need should got to be at least 65% or better. I mean, he was basically 59-60% in his career there. Depends on what you look at. But would you guys agree that where we are right now, because it's not just about football, we absolutely know that. From the football side of it, he's put behind the eight ball because nobody can see him, right?
Yes.
You can't bring him in from the football sense, it's a tougher road to get a look because you can't bring him in. You can't do anything. From the political side of things, it's easier than what it was, right? It should be because, I mean, when he did that, it was like, oh my God, fan backlash, advertiser backlash that could have been. Now it's almost flipped the other way, right? Where every player out there, I mean, Kyler Murray is the latest one to say, I'm kneeling.
Yes.
You know, we've heard. So if Cap were to kneel, he's going to do it with a ton of people. And everybody knows that right now. And our producer Evan brought this up before. And I think it could make, it can go into the, everything goes into the equation. You actually sign him in training camp. There's no fans that are going to be there to, you know, hold up signs that don't want him there or be mad about it or be yelling. And there's these demonstrations because there won't be fans there. There won't be as much media at these things. So you could do it while not, certainly not completely under the radar. There's no shot of that. A lot less actual people around than would normally be at this point.
Yeah, it's everything about the conversation that Colin started has normalized much more. It'll be how many people still hold on to their specific feelings about Kaepernick, right? Because for everyone else coming to this, he was still the original one. There are still all those, and we've seen it. We've seen it well up in ways that we did not expect, those original feelings about Colin that haven't gone away for a lot of people. So it'll be that on one side, because you're right, we can never fully get away from that when it comes to this conversation. And it'd be foolish to think otherwise. And then in the football sense, it's a lot like what we heard from Jeff Van Gundy today about the NBA teams that are getting ready to come back. We just don't know. As he said, the only thing you're bringing with you from the 2019-2020 season that we had before is your roster. Everything right. else is going to be a wild card. Colin is bringing the reputation he had from then, but we don't know what's transpired in the four-year gap in the middle of that, people won't know until they're able to get in front of him, get him in the building, have those conversations, and work him out. That is what they have to determine.
Because it's tough to be fair to say, even if you thought he was a great quarterback, there's some that thought he was a great quarterback before I left. It was his best year, his full starting year, 16, as far as touchdown interception ratio, 16-4. Whether you think he was great or very good or whatever, he was certainly on the upper half of the quarterbacks in the league. I don't think there's any doubt about that. We also have to remember it's 4 years later.
Yes.
It is 4 years later. So it's very difficult to start at that point and say, look what he did before he left and him being immediately that coming back. There's no way I think anybody could expect that, especially right out of the gate.
And when the mess went down with the workout, the NFL tried to set up and then he did his own thing. He said, I've been ready for 3 years is what he said. So that's been his position ever since that. So we'll see what happens if anyone is going to take a chance or take the opportunity to sign Colin Kaepernick a little bit later this offseason. We are Golic and Wingo. All guests will join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, including one coming up very soon, who will try and answer this question. Has baseball finally reached the point where it's now about health and safety, except for the money? We'll finally get to that after this.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
The great thing about facts? They're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Sense. Not a lot of it in baseball. I just want to say, you just threw that away this date in history. It's Tiger's masterpiece.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. 15 strikes. I know.
I can't give it my fault.
It was the Sistine Chapel of golf. It was ridiculous.
I don't like the noises it made you make.
I was so happy. He was 12 under. Second place was 3 over. Just respect it. That's all I'm saying. So, Golic and Wingo with you. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Like our next guest, he is so multi-talented. Buster Olney is basically juggling flaming chainsaws with what he's doing right now. He was just on the KBO broadcast doing stuff for them, and then boom, just like that, he shifts gears and joins us now to talk about Major League Baseball. Buster, A, you're a wizard. B, what took us this long for baseball to get here with the pro rata?
The incrementalism on the side of the owners. Which has been stunning, and we talked about that the other day, that when you measure the amounts of money that they're haggling over at this point, it's like one Jason Hayward contract, you know, one Mark Teixeira contract, just to put it into context, weighed against an industry that might be worth $50 billion when you consider the value of the franchises. But I don't think we're necessarily close. Based on the conversations I was, had with folks in the player side last night, their reaction to 60 games at full pay was, wait, there's got to be more, right? There's got to be more to this offer, because the 60-game full pay offers is basically the same amount of money as what they were offered when they were the owners extended 72 games at 83% pay. And so last night, there were folks on the player's side, waiting for the fine print to emerge. And okay, so is there some sort of concession going forward, some sort of mechanism to help free agents? Is there something else we haven't heard? And there isn't. And it'll be interesting to see today what the response is from the Players Association. I don't think that 60 games at full pay is going to get it done, because I think from that side, their feeling is, look, Rob Manfred could implement 54 games at a 54 game season at full pay. Is 60 games at full pay really that different? And they are now flush against the realities, the calendar, and trying to figure this out, because According to the owner's proposal yesterday, the second spring training would begin about June 29th. 3 weeks later, games beginning on July 19th, with 10 off days built into that 60-game season. So, guys, it looks like there's a lot more haggling to be done.
Yeah, I guess that's the thought, Buster, is we everybody sees the headline and says, oh, there's movement, there's negotiation. It's kind of like the baseball contract we always talk about. When you see a baseball player's contract, look at the end number because that's what they're getting. In a football contract, look at the guaranteed money because that's what we know they're getting. In this, it almost doesn't even seem like, Buster, it's the games or anything like that. It's the last number. Like you said, this offer, $1.5 billion, just like the last offer the owners had. And for the, I think the union, the last offer was in the $2.2, $2.3 billion range. So I guess I'm asking, is that the number we need to ultimately look at for getting games and all that? Is that the final number?
Golic, I think that comparison is absolutely perfect. You're right. It is like looking at NFL players' contract, and that is, okay, what's the guarantee? You know, how much of that needle are you going to move? And keep in mind, too, that these conversations we're having now, the financial aspect of this is like the Mount Everest. And then after that, there's K2 with health and safety protocols. And I think if there's agreement on the money, that, you know, that'll go relatively smoothly. You obviously, if they get restarted, you're going to have the inherent risk. But they do have a ways to go. I can tell you this on the player side last night too, among some of the agents, and they were looking at, you know, Rob Manfred's actions, and they were looking at the wording of his statement that he issued last night, and it was almost like, and Rob is a lawyer, he was checking all the boxes that potentially could undercut a future grievance. You know, those first words in his statement. At my request, if you were to paraphrase that, I'm trying. We discussed, a framework. I'm trying. And some of the agents are wondering, because the big needle that you just referenced with the total financial package really didn't move, if part of this was Rob's trip out to Arizona to undercut any future legal action against, by the players against Major League Baseball if they don't play this year.
Buster Olney with us here on Golic and Wingo. And Buster, materially, we know this is, again, part of the negotiations back at the table, the 60-game offer now on this. But superficially, we know the way it was just positioned. It was the players looking at Rob Manfred and the owner saying, tell us when and where, tell us when we're ready to go, we're ready to play. And this is not them unilaterally imposing that amount. That being said, if the players do come back and ask for more and put up more of a fight and drag this on, are they going to lose a lot of that leverage and goodwill they created with the public?
It was interesting last night that the players who've been so vocal on social media were essentially silent. Because yeah. I think they were still processing that. I don't think they'll lose the leverage of this moment, because I do think, because of how this has played out, the incrementalism of the owner's offers, the players being accessible to fans on social media, I think they have the support, generally speaking, of fans. But, guys, if there's no baseball, in the end, it would be the players going back out on the field in uniforms in front of the fans. And I think there is a lot of building anger toward both sides that you see on social media, responses I get, people I talk to. And even within the sport, it's amazing when you talk to the rank and file among players, among team staffers. They're disgusted by this. Like, they're embarrassed to be part of this industry right now because of how this is playing out. I had someone on the team side say to me the other day, speaking generally of fans, he was like, they hate us. Like, they hate us right now. And certainly, another round of haggling, another round of not having a resolution can only feed that.
Buster Olney with us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Buster, I texted with one player last night, and he said to me, quote, it feels good to be working again. And I took that as an extremely optimistic situation that he believed this thing would get worked out. Where are you on the optimism scale that this, yes, there are still obstacles to get through, but that we're headed towards, to quote our friend Jeff Passan, the deal zone?
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much more movement there is. I don't think, based on what I was hearing last night, that 60 games is going to get it done. You know, will the number have to be 68? Will the number have to be a 70? But I think among most folks on the player side that I was hearing from last night, it was, we need more. And they're also hoping that there are going to be bigger picture mechanisms put in place to help free agents in the fall to address larger issues for the players before they get an agreement.
So along those lines, Buster, so again, we talk about games, we talk about money. The owners need to come up from their $1.5 billion. The players, are they going to come down for their $2.2 or $2.3 billion? Where will they meet? Is one of the other components here, because this is another part of it that was like an afterthought a little bit on this, but how important is it that the league get from the players, you will not file a grievance against us?
Oh, I think that's going to be one of those must-haves. You know, in the conversation between Tony Clark and Rob Manfred, I think it basically was, okay, what do you need? I'll tell you what I need. It was sort of staking points, and I do think that if, in fact, they play, that would be one of the conditions that the owners would insist upon.
Buster, a couple of other questions specifically about the playoffs. We've talked about in the deal that would be expanded playoffs not only in 2020 but also in 2021. Should we get there, what are we looking at in terms of postseason baseball?
16 teams potentially, if that's where the final number lands on, and I think that would be especially appropriate for this year to widen the playoff field given the fact that it would be a shortened season. You could still play it within the current framework that we have, although that first round, how'd you like to be like a number one seed if you're the Yankees, you're the Dodgers? And I'm speculating on this part. I'm assuming that first set of games is going to be like a best of three. So it would be like number one seed against the number eight seed, you know, potentially playing three games in a four-game window before you move on to the next round. That would be something. If, in fact, they can agree to a deal, it would feel like a NASCAR restart in how accelerated everything would be and how big of a deal it would be for a team to lose three straight games or four straight games. It would be unlike anything we've ever seen before. Just because the result of each game would be so magnified. Baseball is always, yeah, you know, the big picture, long term, stay patient. You couldn't have patience in a shortened season.
No way. And Buster, there's also the other question we have to talk about, which is the reason we're having this, is the pandemic. And I was also told that both sides were very shooken up by the comments from Dr. Fauci the other day where he said, I wouldn't think about playing a lot of baseball late into October. You want to get this thing done as quickly as you can. How much do you think that is sort of spurring these guys to finally get something on paper so we can get this thing moving and finish it before we're late into October?
100% the realities of the calendar are kicking in. Like we are now at the point where we're getting close to either you're going to figure it out or there's not going to be baseball this year. And the whole time, Trey, as they've had these conversations with folks in Major League Baseball at the team level, they always add the qualifier, we could figure this all out and the whole thing could derail with a spat of positive tests in a clubhouse. What happens if all of a sudden you have, you know, eight players test positive in one clubhouse? You know, what would happen then? What would happen to that team? What would happen to the team they played against? And I think they're all aware of that possibility that the whole thing could be pulled off the tracks by the realities of the coronavirus.
So, good news, but then maybe not. Baseball! Buster, as always, we appreciate your time, your insight, and your wisdom. Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it, guys. Take care.
I just love the statement from Rob Manfred. I mean, for those following along on this, and then you read the statement that they had a meeting, Tony Clark and Rob Manfred, and here was Manfred after the meeting. We left that meeting with a jointly developed framework that we agreed could form the basis of an agreement and subject to conversations with respective constituents. I mean,
that does sound like a lawyer.
Oh my
legal parsing.
We agreed to a framework that could lead to an agreement after we talked to our people. Yeah. So
depending on what they say. I also talked to somebody because it seemed to be optimistic after this meeting. And this person responded to me, well, optimism means they just didn't swing at each other.
Well, yeah, I mean.
That's how bad
honestly,
it is.
Honestly, it's the lowest bar to clear right
it
now.
It is. And again, baseball. Don't look at the games. The games equate to the money. The money that the owners are willing to spend and the money the players want. Right now, the owners are willing to spend $1.5 billion to the players, and the players want like $2.2 billion. That's, my quick math says that's $700 million of difference right now. So where will they meet? Whatever they meet in the money, that will equate to the games that you're going to see. So whenever you see the games, oh, they came up in games, down in games, that just means the amount of money they're willing to spend and or get if you're in front of the league or a player. That's what we're talking about. And then the other caveat, you can't file a grievance against us to come after us for more money.
See, that to me is the big one, right? Why would the players want to give up on that? I mean, that's their hammer for the next.
Well, it all
around.
Depends. No, it all depends on what they get from the owners. If the owners come up and get up, say, to $2 billion instead of 1.5 or more palatable for the players, then maybe the players wouldn't do that. Because we saw all the players, we talked about it yesterday, saying, tell us where, tell us when. That was easy. It looked great, and everybody could go, oh, man, look, the players want to play. But again, the fine print was, yeah, and we're going to then sue you guys for more money if you do it this way.
Yeah, the players have to be very careful with the way they frame whatever they come back with after this announcement. Because, and this is why I asked Buster, they, I think, scored a very, very high Q rating with the public, yeah, with Major League Baseball fans, because they jumped into the bleachers and they said, tell us when and where. We just want to play baseball. We want the game back. We want to be out there on the field because we love this. And it worked. It worked overwhelmingly.
Boom.
And so now if you come back and major, this is basically like challenging the bully to a fight, right? You sit there and say, square up, show up, 3 o'clock in the parking lot after school. I'm going to be there. You better be there. And then all of a sudden the bully shows up and you got excuses and you got to stretch and you got class or you got detention.
Got a hammy.
It doesn't necessarily hit the same after that. And everyone's going to be looking at you. Well, you said when and where you said all of that because I think the way this goes, we know, and everyone watching this very closely knows, baseball could have unilaterally enforced that, and they could have just said, here's the deal. They came back and instead, and they're trying to negotiate again. I think that's going to be hard to just kind of see from a general sentiment standpoint when we're all on the outside looking in. I think it's going to look like you said when and where, they provided you with the when and where, and now you're balking yet again here. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's the optic that the players are dealing with. So I guess the real question we all have to have is, are we having this conversation again in a week? Or are they going to figure the bleep out?
I mean, they're, at some point you're going to run out of time to where you may want to play 70 to 80 games, but you're not going to have room to do it if this keeps on going.
I'm telling you, that statement from Dr. Fauci really rattled a lot of people.
It rattled
on
me,
both
quite
sides.
Honestly, it rattled me more for the football NFL and college season to think of where we may go with that.
Yeah, a reminder of the realities that exist because we got so lost in the sports side of this.
Yep.
And Buster pointed out, K2 lurking off in the distance is all of the health and safety stuff that has to go along with this, which as we're seeing, whether it's the NBA bubble or anything else, is a huge portion of this conversation once you finally get to it and stare at it. Because everyone, in theory, with that health and safety side of it, you'd think, all right, it's our health and safety. It's our best interest. It's our physical well-being in mind. Of course, we would all agree on this and want to do what's best to keep everybody safe.
Yeah.
Until you start to realize how it specifically affects you. Like, until it's, you start to realize, oh, wait, I might not be able to do the things I believe I'm able to do. Or, like, the NBA coaches are finding out, could this potentially prevent me from being involved the way I want, the level of opportunity I want going forward? It all sounds good to say, well, yeah, it's our health and safety. We take this very seriously. It's a global pandemic. Until you find out how it specifically affects you. And that's not to cast judgment on any of them, because we're all selfish in that way. That's right. Just normal human stuff.
That's the first thing you do is you think about how something affects you.
But you have to get to that point for those realities to start in. And Major League Baseball hasn't even gotten there yet. And as you mentioned, the runway is slowly becoming the edge of a cliff.
Yeah, all of this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Again, the perfect sponsored read for baseball. No contract, no compromise.
Boy, oh boy.
But we mentioned football.
That might as well be their rallying cry.
No mercy!
No compromise!
We're going to talk to Dr. Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, in just about an hour, because you're right, those comments from Dr. Fauci, but I wouldn't be playing outside in October, the spike for baseball. Well, football plays through December outside in most places. And that, It's going to be, and we've had this conversation many times, and football, specifically the NFL, because college is dealing with a couple of other parameters that are outside their control, which is parents and all this kind of stuff. But the NFL specifically is going to have the longest runway to figure it out. But at the end of the day, they're going to have the biggest problem because of the way the sport is played and when it's played.
Well, I mean, them in college football, once you get to the season and you get through all that minutia, are going to run into the same problem. You're playing in a time of year that Dr. Fauci just mentioned could be a little more problematic with all this. And y'all hit each other really hard in really close proximity.
And the thing about it is, we talk about the hitting all the time. Basketball, it's just as bad, right?
For sure.
There's contact and all. But the difference there, basketball is going to, I know they don't like the word, they're going to a bubble where they're all going to be in the same spot. In football, both college and pros, they're traveling to different cities. They have their training camps. They're going to get on planes. They're going to travel. They're going to deal with hotel people, rest food, and all that deal. So their exposure is going to be greater than that of the NBA athletes through their season because, boy, once somebody gets it in one of those sports, if you don't isolate it quick enough, you know you're going to have the spread.
Roster expansion, roster flexibility, I think is the only way the NFL is going to be.
Well, there are reports. There are reports out that they are going to jump the practice squad. Remember, they were talking about 10 to 12.
Yeah.
There are reports of possibly going to 16 players.
That may not be enough.
And quite honestly, they may need to add the veteran part of it, right? So they're not all just rookies that you have to bring in because now it's been, what, two?
There have been two veteran exemption spots on practice squad. They might have to increase that or go ahead and steal from the XFL and just do a full team of
have
guys
another team ready
in their own bubble that are ready to go on this
and
one.
And you just pluck them off when you get someone hurt. Yeah.
It sounds crazy. Crazy, but these are uncertain times.
I mean, that might have to be the reality. Yeah. The only good news for the NFL, we've seen a bunch of players, and most lately Kareem Jackson, the corner for the Broncos, test positive. They all have seemed to recovered very well.
Right.
And like Von Miller has asthma. I mean, so, you know, Von Miller was a guy, if you thought, oh, it might be a problem, he's apparently doing all right. So
what comes with that is what the NBA is getting ready to deal with, which is you test positive and you come back, but how long are you held out and what are you allowed to do during that time?
I have a question about this tease. I have no idea. Is it, I don't know. Is it Dumbass or Dumas? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. What is happening?
What is that?